that aren't. Anyways, good to have everybody. I love you. I appreciate you. God is doing some awesome things, and we're just grateful for his love. Continue to pray again for those that aren't feeling well and things going on in their body. I just got to give a reminder, December 17th, we have our Happy Birthday Jesus celebration meal. Amen. We're going to have fun. We're going to eat again. I'm looking forward to it. I love y'all's cooking, man. We ought to cook every Wednesday night. If I can just get, maybe Miss Sarah, no, Miss Sarah just ducked out. She said that ain't happening. But that's a big responsibility, isn't it? But the Lord will send us somebody that can do that. But December 17th, Happy Birthday Jesus celebration meal. Also on the 24th, we're going to have our communion here. We're going to do it live streaming. So we hope to get together with some other churches or folks that are out in the extended family that want to be a part of that. We're going to do it right here, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be anointed. Don't forget our December 31st New Year's Eve service. We are so looking forward to that. I got a lot of people that are looking to come visit us and be here and contacting us from all over. So we're hoping to have just a great service. I know it'll be live stream. It'll be packed because, again, a lot of people can't get over here. But it's going to be a great time. So that's at 9 p.m. We'll have a regular service, 10:30 a.m. Let you all go do what you do. Some of y'all like sleeping under a tree and get a nap after church. And then we're going to be back at 9 o'clock. And it's going to be awesome, 9 o'clock at night. And then we have finger snacks and stuff like that. We count down the new year. We holler real loud. And then we try to get past the DUI roadblocks and get home. Follow me. I know how to get home this way. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? Because almost every year I come home, they're always out there. And I'm like, I go the other way. I just don't want to be held up. Anyways, so we're really looking forward to that. And remember, that's when you're going to make your decorations, your five decorations of what you're believing for to take place in 2018, and just prophetically speak to it. No matter what's happening on the prophetic time clock, there's things God's still doing in you. There's things that God's still doing in me and still doing in the church. So we can't lose sight of that. We still got to function in faith, and the principles of God will never go away, even in the end times. So, in fact, they even get stronger. So those are my announcements. I love you all. I appreciate you. How y'all like the TVs, man? Isn't that cool? We're getting ready, amen, for 2018. I'll share more with you later. It was put in my heart. But now some of y'all folk that say you can't see back there, now they're going to be able to see on Sunday morning, amen. And so we got one for the Father, one for the Son, and one for the Holy Ghost. So come on, now you got to do everything spiritually, right? That's a good answer. But I think, again, it'll help other folks. And kind of the way the building is, we couldn't put a screen as we wanted to, we initially thought, so we had to come up with this. So I hope you all enjoy it, and I hope those that are going to see it on Sunday morning join it, will enjoy it. Pastor Dante, I want you to come up here and greet the folks, share what's on your heart real quick, and we'll get into tonight's teaching.
I love you, man.
Love you too, sir. Glad to be here.
Bless you. Tell them the sacrifice you
made. Amen. Glad to be here again. This actually is somewhat similar to the first time we came down here, September last year. I had a class through the same organization down in Alpharetta, Georgia. I said, I can't come through Georgia and not come to Ignite. And things haven't been the same since. I mean, I've enjoyed just serving under the tutorship and the mentorship of Pastor Faircloth. We obviously feel welcome in the family. We feel the love every time we get here. We feel it in the parking lot. Gabriel was telling me, he said, Judah's just waiting at the door. I mean, he said, Judah's just waiting at the door. He said he won't move. I said, his parents probably don't want him to come on out there, but it's worth the drive every time. I mean, we love it. I'm in a class this time up in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So I reached out to Pastor Ben. I said, if we're coming that close, we're coming. It's a Monday through Friday thing. If it was Sunday, then I'd have been here then. But I thank God that he brought us safely down the highways. He brought us here to his house to be here with his people. I mean, we're excited every time we get here. We love God's people. We love what he's doing here. We get excited every time I hear more announcements. When I listen on the podcast, I hear about the house and the school, and I'm just like, my goodness, God is really doing something. And the class that I'm in, it's amazing. It's a leadership class, and they talk about all the attributes of a good leader, and talk about how they're consistent, they're forward thinking, they're forward looking, they're honest, they have all of these different personality traits. And I said, that just reminds me, of course, you know, of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. You think about the great ones from the Bible, Paul the Apostle and all of them. And I'll be honest with you, and I try not to heap too much glory on men, but Pastor Ben, you do a great job of it. I mean, it really, when I think about leader, brother to brother, man to man, seasoned minister, the younger minister, he really pours out a lot. He's a forward-thinking man. He's not just thinking about today, and I thank God for you and your leadership. It takes a fantastic wife to put up with men like us that are trying to constantly stay out there and do what needs to be done to get kingdom work done. But you all do it well here. He can't do it without the people that are here that are faithful to support the ministry, those that that aren't here physically in Livonia that support this ministry. What God is doing to make this Ignited movement work, it's just an unbelievable thing to see. And we're glad to be a part of it, even from a distance. It's an awesome thing to be a part of. Like I said, it's worth the drive. Traffic wasn't a thing. You know, if we got here and y'all weren't here, we'd be like, oh, well, we're just going to come back the next time. But when we're close, if we're in driving distance, a half day's drive, we're coming to Georgia. We truly enjoy it. It's worth it. We thank God for what he's doing here through you all. We encourage you here that everybody's, still praying for our family and lifting us up. We need it. We're doing a work still back in Durham, North Carolina, and we plan on continuing to do it until the Lord calls us to do something different. And until that day, we're going to work. We're going to labor. I know it'll be done here. I thank God for y'all, and I just can't wait to see what God has to say tonight. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.
Bless you. Love you, man.
Love you.
You're awesome, man. All right. I'll give you that $5 later for that, what you said earlier. It's 10 now. Oh, my goodness. Inflation. Well, I appreciate the kind words, and we're so glad that you guys are here. We love your family so much, and we believe in what you're doing over in Durham, even though I pray for requisition, to bring you. But we know everything's in God's. That's right. I was going to make everybody do a prophetic, symbolic cast the net that way. But, God has everything under control. And, we don't ever want to try to do something in our own flesh. I don't know about you. I've tried it, and it did not work. And so we just always wait on God's timing. But we love you guys. I'm so glad you're here. And that's so radical. I mean, they're in Spartanburg, and then they're going to drive all the way here to come to the house of God. And you can't get people to come around the corner. So I don't want to get into my Sunday preaching, but, it's the truth. And so that's when you – and that's going to segue into what I'm going to say tonight. But thank you for those kind words. And I appreciate you and your family and your ministry, and I believe in you. And I believe that you're going to make a greater impact in the coming days. Amen. And I just thank the Lord for you guys. Also, don't be surprised if you'll be standing up here preaching in 2018, okay? I might have you come do that. Amen. All right. Come on a Wednesday night or something and preach for us. All right. That sounds good. Lord dropped that in my heart. Okay. Well, let's get into tonight's teaching and get into what he's been speaking to us. Father, I love you. Thank you again for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for what you're doing in this congregation. This is a movement. It's bigger than a man. It's bigger than a church and a location. Your body, Father, is so much larger than the mindset of a denomination. Your body is so great or so universal than any organization. And we just love you tonight for the koinonia that we feel in your heart and in our hearts tonight through the Holy Ghost. Father, hide me tonight behind the shadow of the cross. Let Jesus get all the praise, the honor, and the glory. In his mighty name, everybody say amen. All right, I've been teaching on the prayer of intervention. We've already seen evidence just in the county jail. Seeing salvations take place there in Christine's own family at home on Thanksgiving, a family member brought to the Lord. So we know that the power of prayer works, right? It works, and you have to pray according to the Word of God, which is the will of God, and His will is that no man perishes, and that's why we do what we do. I just want to go back and briefly touch on part two, because I'm going to change gears on you because I was led to. But the prayer of intervention, part two, we talked about the ability and the opportunity to intervene is a gift of grace. The opportunity, the ability to intervene, it is a gift of grace. God graces us. Now remember, grace is more than just unmerited favor. Grace is access. Grace is anointing. Grace is power. Grace accompanies all those definitions and more, because without grace, you can't do anything. You really can't operate in the kingdom. So that is the ability to intervene. It's a gift of grace. We are anointed to pray what the Father desires for all men, and that is salvation. So we're anointed. He cannot put something on you that he doesn't anoint you to do. The anointing, really what the anointing means, it means to be smeared on and to be rubbed in and all that. But the anointing is the infused power of God to do his work. It's the infused power of God to do his work. You can't lay hands on the sick and they recover without the anointing, okay? And so that's a powerful truth. And our refusal to pray for intervention and salvation of a lost soul proves we have yet obtained the message of the cross. I remember I said that because somebody put on a posting in which I was named in, saying, "Why pray for Charles Manson?" and gave me all these negative scriptures of how God hates the sinner. Well, of course God hates the sin. He doesn't hate the sinner. And pulling up Old Testament scriptures about David and things, you know, there's so much to teach about that. I won't even waste time. The reality is this, that Jesus died for all men, and if man is still breathing, he has a chance. He has an opportunity, okay? And so if we don't pray that way, then we really have not obtained the message of the cross. We're still immature because everything was paid for at Calvary. Okay, and then we are far from understanding what happened that day on Calvary, Ephesians chapter 1 and those things. I'm not going to go into total detail because I don't want to take up too much of your time. I will take a few minutes after to get all this in, hopefully. But the Lord spoke to my heart yesterday, actually. If you ever done any type of ministry or if you're trying to make a decision on something, God will arrest you and he won't let you go forward. And so as I was preparing to study and hear his voice on part three or where he wanted me to go, he arrested me and didn't allow me to receive what he wanted till this morning. So we're going to talk tonight about the prayer of consecration and transparency. We're going to talk about the prayer of consecration and transparency. I will get back into intervention, I'm sure, just like we'll get back into intercession. As long as the Lord has me teaching on prayer, it's going to be wherever he wants us to go. But I need to obey him on this particular issue. So let's go ahead and let me give you a couple of statements to write down. This will be kind of lengthy, but it will be a plank for you to walk on for the coming teaching. Here's the first thing I want you to write down. The proof of any desire is realized in the pursuit. The proof of any desire is realized in the pursuit. So many people give God lip service on Sunday, Wednesday, or whatever, but they never pursue him during the week. They never pursue him in activity, employment in the church, whatever it may be. They never put their hands on the plow. They never do anything to bring themselves into a position of proving the pursuit. They just say it. So the proof of any desire is realized in the pursuit. And I mean, this is not compliment night, but I think that's a pretty good proof for somebody driving from Spartanburg all the way to Livonia, Georgia, to be in a Wednesday night church. Come on, somebody, without standing up and preaching and getting an offering, without the elders taking them to dinner. Come on, somebody, you got to know church to know what I'm talking about. This is what people expect in ministry today. You know, you rub my back and I'll rub yours. The reality is this, the proof of any desire is found and realized in the pursuit. If you really love God, then people can see you pursuing him. Okay, so the second statement I want you to write down is our lives will only move in the direction of our heart. Our lives will only move in the direction of our heart. Now, I'm talking kingdom-wise. I'm not taking away from the fact when I teach about your words, show where you're heading. This is talking about pursuing. This is talking about consecration. So our lives will only move in the direction of our heart. Where is our heart at? That's where our treasures are. That's where we'll go. That's where you'll find me. Come on. If my heart is at the boat ramp, you'll find me there on Sunday. Like some folks, or the gun range, or whatever it may be, you're going to find that person, and they'll be spotty every other Sunday or every so on and so forth. So our lives will only move in the direction of our heart. No matter, watch this, write this down, no matter the words we say, our passion is the evidence and driving force of our life. No matter what words we say, doesn't matter. You can have all kinds of words, eloquent words. You can be very learned. No matter the words we say, our passion is the evidence and driving force of our life. Is that right? Because if my heart is right, my mouth will follow. Let me try that again. If my heart is right, my mouth will follow. Okay? So no matter the words we say, passion is the evidence and driving force of our life. Finally, our commitment to a life in Christ, our commitment to a life in Christ will be transparent both in private and public display. One more time. Our commitment to a life in Christ will be transparent both in private and public display. These are the things the Holy Spirit gave me today to give to you to stand upon as we teach this. So consecration and transparency. This is a prayer. This is a type of lifestyle. And I want you to write somewhere in your notes, lifestyle, not a formula. This is a lifestyle. We got to get away from trends, fads, and fashions in the church. We got to get back to biblical truth and roots that produce Holy Ghost fruit, that produce things that will last beyond us. Should the Lord tarry, you know, I want to leave a godly heritage to my family, to this church, and to the community, okay? So a commitment in the life of Christ, or to a life in Christ, will be transparent both in private and public display. Now let's go to Luke chapter 22, and I'm going to hop around a few places because this is where he took me. It was a very exciting journey that I need to lay this out to you. And we're just going to dissect this. Now, how long I stay on this again, never hold me to something because I just don't know when it comes to teaching, because I'm always open to what the Lord says, and he wants to shift gears. I'm just riding. You know, he's shifting and steering. I'm just waving out the window. Woo! Lord, this is fun. Go faster. All right, Luke chapter 22, and let's begin to teach here at verse 39. Now, as you know, Jesus is already, he's gone through the dealing with Judas. You know, he's already gone through the issue with Peter and who's the greatest. It's right around Passover. These things are taking place. And he comes to verse 39. Watch this. And he came out and he went as he wont to the Mount of Olives. In other words, he's been there before. He went to the place that he normally been to. It was a place of prayer. And his disciples also followed him. So he went to the Mount of Olives, or Gethsemane. Everybody knows the Garden of Gethsemane. But what you need to write down on this is that he went to the place of the press. It was called the oil press. It was the place of the olives. Obviously, there were olive trees all over there, and they would take the olives and they would crush them. And when they crushed them, that's when they had the oil would flow forward and would flow purely. And it represents the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So he went to the place of the press. Write this down. The anointing in your life is fully developed and realized under pressure. The anointing in your life is fully developed and realized under pressure. Nowhere else. You don't get an anointing from somebody else that lasts a lifetime. You may get a blessing and a mantle placed on you, lay hands upon you, and the glory and the tingle and the presence of the Lord. But for it to endure and last and increase and go beyond the giver, you have to go to the place of pressure. Nobody escapes the place of pressure. Nobody. For the anointing to increase, including myself and mainly me. Because if I want to go into the next realm, I have to be crushed even further. I have to go into deeper pressure. I have to have things removed, and I have to have the Holy Spirit apply greater heat. Boy, that'll make you want to preach and run around the house. Woo-hoo! But it's a reality. If you want to see a greater glory and a greater anointing, you have to go to the place of pressure. And so Jesus is showing us this. You have to read the Bible in an instructive way instead of just reading it in an illustrative way, because if you go into an illustrative way, then you end up being in theology alone and not practicality. And so that's why I teach the way I do, because I want you to see it simply like I do, okay? So he came out and he went. He went to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. So he went to that place of the anointing, the place of the pressuring, and the place of the press. The key to successful, this is the key to successful submission. This is the key to successful submission. You have to submit to the pressure. This is the key, successful submission, submitting to the process, and you have to endure. Okay, so watch. He gets there, he goes to that place, the disciples follow him, verse 40. And when he was at that place, or at the place, different translations, I want you to highlight and capitalize somewhere in your paper, somewhere in your notes, the place. This is very important, okay? Jesus came to the Mount of Olives. He didn't come there by accident. He came there because it was the place of the press. He was going into the position that he was going to be pressed like never before. So he went there. And then it says in verse 40 that he came to that place. Now the word place there in the Greek is topos. Topos. T-O-P-O-S. Topos. Now, topos is a very powerful word in the Greek, because topos let me give you the number first so that you, I know you're writing it down so you have it. It's 5117. 5117. It's a very important word because it means the position of opportunity. Topos. Jesus went to the position of opportunity. He didn't just go find a place to hang out. He went to the place he frequented. He was led by the Holy Spirit there. You know everything Jesus did, he did because he was shown by who? The Father. So he went to his topos. He went to that place or position of opportunity. And that is very important, because if you and I are ever going to receive our breakthrough in life or in ministry or anywhere, we have to get to our position of opportunity. We have to get to the place that God said there. You have to get to the place where God says over here. Because so many of us miss our blessings because we're over here, we're yonder there, wherever, where everybody wants us to be except where God said for you and I to be. And we lose the topos. We lose the position of opportunity. And that's for all of us. Amen. I'm so glad that when over 7 years ago, the Lord spoke to my wife and I to stay and to be here and to actually come to this area, because this was our topos. This was our position of opportunity. It wasn't in Charlotte. It wasn't in Miami. It wasn't in Atlanta. It wasn't, come on, somebody. It was right here at this place. So our breakthrough is at the position of opportunity. You must know where you are. You must know where you are, because where you are, if it is the position of opportunity, then you have the right to demand and command the blessings of God on your life there. Not that you're trying to move the hand of God, but you're in the position of opportunity. You're exactly where God told you to be, and you can tell the devil, get off private property. Yes, you can, because it's a topos. It's a position of opportunity. Jesus went there because God directed him to be there, and that is where he needed to be. So watch this. He's at this topos. Remember, position of opportunity. Write this down, because this is important to hear this. The opportunity of a lifetime only exists in the lifetime of the opportunity. An opportunity of a lifetime only exists in the lifetime of the opportunity. In other words, there are opportunities in God that have shelf life. You may be able to go back and redeem the time, but redeem means sacrificial payment. So some of us can miss it and then come back around the mountain, but it's going to cost you more to get there. When if we had obeyed the first time, we'd have been in the position of opportunity, the blessings would be flowing, and we wouldn't have to dig so hard and work so hard. Okay, those are just some things that the Lord wanted me to share with you. topos, the position of opportunity. That's very important. Okay? Because Jesus knew the Passover was about to take place. He also knew his destiny, and he knew that he was the Passover lamb. So he got to that place where he was supposed to be. Very important principle that I didn't want to pass by just saying, and he went to that place. No, it's more than that. That was destiny. You are here tonight because of destiny. And he said to them, pray that you may be, what? That you would not enter into temptation. So he said, I want you to pray that you don't enter into that temptation. Verse 41, and he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and he kneeled down and prayed. Hold that spot, and I want you to go now to Matthew chapter 26, because I want to show you this other principle the Holy Spirit put on my heart to give to you tonight. And again, we're just going to dissect this whole experience that Jesus went through because it's so powerful. But go to Matthew chapter 26 and write this down. Write down the progression of consecration. The progression of consecration, because I want you to see this progression that he went through. Go to verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. Now he came into the garden with how many? 11, because one of them was already committing the crime. Judas was already gone. Jesus said, go ahead, do what you got to do, devil. So 11 with him came to this place of the press. Now watch this. Write down number one, that 11 came with him. Some folks can only get so close to you. Some folks can only go so far with you to where that's it. This is a principle of consecration through this prayer. You got to see this. Number one, 11 came with him, but some folks can only go so far with you. Some folks you got to leave at the door. Some folks can't go beyond the doorway of your opportunity. Some folks you don't take into your opportunity. There are a lot of people who make the mistake of being promoted and being blessed and whatever, and you want to carry folks from the past when God says they can't get through the door with you. They don't belong in that place. I know what I'm talking about, because in ministry, people want you to carry them and whatever. And it's like, I'm sorry, you got to wait outside, because where I'm going, you can't go. I love you, but you can't go. So watch this, verse 37. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Who's that? James, right? That's right. James and John. And he took two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Let's stop there for a second. The number two thing is this. He brought Peter, James, and John. Okay? Some people can get close to you. Some people can get close to you. Certain people God will let in your life. But notice how the numbers diminished. I'm talking about consecration now. We're talking about the prayer of consecration. When I begin to enter into consecration with God, there's certain people that just can't come with you. Then there's some that can be close to you, but the number drops. That's the triclinium. The triclinium was around Jesus, which is three. His total team of 12 could not go. Of course, one was a betrayer. But this is very important, or it wouldn't have been in the Bible. So it's a progression of consecration. So Jesus is about to make the ultimate consecration of his life and of his ministry, and he's showing you this principle. Some have to stay at the door. Some can enter at the threshold. Is that right? Now look at verse 38. And I'm going to get back to verse 37, because there's something I want you to, I'm going to teach on that in just a minute. But then he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry you here, watch with me. And he went a little further and he fell on his face and he prayed, saying, I'm going to stop right there. So notice what Jesus did. He left the 11 at the door of the position of opportunity. He took the couple with him closer, and then he finally left them and went on his own. That is the process of consecration. So if I am going to be praying the prayer of consecration, I have to pray to the point where it's just me and God. I have to get to the point where it's just me and Him. It's the dealing between me and God and not the rest. So many Christians want to add everybody and pile up and bring people into your relationship and bring people into your prayer life. And I'm talking about those that just have to have somebody to hang on to. There comes a time when you just have to get alone with God. And you have to say, you know what? I love you, but this is as far as you go. You got a hand's distance, okay? Because I'm fixing to get into the presence of God. And so Jesus shows us this progression. Now, verse 37, look at this, because I have to go back to Luke to really dive into the other aspects of that. But watch this. He said he was sorrowful. Verse 37, you there? He took with him Peter, James, and the two sons of Zebedee, and he became sorrowful and very heavy. The word sorrowful there is grief. Write that down, grief. He began to have grief. So many times when you hear this taught, it makes it seem as though Jesus was at a picnic, that he just went and did took a little time away to pray, was on a retreat, and he just wanted to, you know, talk to the Father. No, he was full of grief, incredible grief. And there's some things that you and I go through that are full of grief that nobody else can help us with, that only God can. There's some things we're carrying, some burdens we're carrying, there's some issues we're carrying that I can't go and tell everybody. I got to go into the presence of God. So it says, sorrowful and very heavy. Now watch this. The word heavy there, write this down. It means to be troubled, great distress, anguish, and then finally the word is depression. Now, this word used here in the Greek for depression, there's only three words in the New Testament that are used for the word depression. This is the strongest language and the strongest word of the three. He was depressed. He was in the what? The oil press. He was in the position of being crushed. He was in the position to where all of him was being poured out. And that's what consecration is. Consecration is not coming up to the bishop, the prelate, whatever, the pastor dude, and he, you know, he consecrates you to the Lord or whatever. That's a nice symbolic public thing and display, and I believe in it. I believe in a mantle. I believe in transferring anointing. I believe in all that. I believe it's very tangible. But if you don't do nothing with it, then it was just a good feeling. If you don't consecrate that and say, God, I cherish this anointing. I want to increase this anointing. I want to walk deeper in the mantle that you've given me. I want to walk stronger in the things that you have given me. That if we don't do that, we won't see increase. And I believe the Lord is telling me to teach this because we're about to go to the place of the breaking, the place of the crushing and pressure in this nation. And the church is going to have to really, really find the true anointing of God, because what we have now is not. What we have now is plastic banana stuff. It's a false anointing. It's not true, pure, crushing anointing that comes from a consecrated life. And there's no greater example than what I'm reading to you right now. Than the Lord Jesus. That's why I wouldn't give you a nickel for a preacher that doesn't go through the pressures of being changed. I wouldn't give you time to sit under somebody who doesn't go through the process of asking God, increase me, let there be less of me and more of you. Amen. Because if you're around somebody like that, friends, family, ministry, you're going to see an increase of anointing on them, and it will affect you. Do you see that? So sorrowful, grief, and then heavy, man, to be troubled, to have great distress and anguish, and to be depressed. Strongest word of the three in the Greek. Very, very powerful. Verse 38, it says exceeding sorrowful. To what point? He was under such pressure in the natural that he would have died. He said it. Is that what he says? Look at verse 38. Look at it again. Then he saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. That's powerful. That is powerful. This pressure that he was under, this extreme pressure to bring out the anointing, the final anointing, if you will. Jesus was anointed to die. Jesus was anointed to die. When you pray the prayer of consecration, you are praying for you to die and for Christ to live within you. That is the true prayer of consecration, because I'm not praying so everybody can see how anointed I am and I glow in the dark. That hasn't happened yet, by the way. I still don't glow in the dark. But you think preachers, you listen to them, you think they do glow in the dark and angels put on their shoes and all that stuff. But the reality is, when we pray the prayer of consecration, we're saying, God, we must die, we must decrease, you have to increase, all these things. Let me be in the process of being crushed so that Christ would live inside of me and all the world would see him. Isn't that powerful? All right, so go back to Luke, because I have to go back there to teach on where I want to go. Obviously, there were two views of both stories were written. But I want to go back to Luke. So we have that progress or progression of consecration. The progress of consecration. Progression of it. We want to see that. And we see that again. In Matthew chapter 26, certain people can only go so far with you. My wife and I were talking about this the other day. We're talking about future ministry because we do forward think. We do look ahead. And, you know, we were thinking about people in our past and wondering where certain people were. Well, we've been around some anointed people, you know, some good hard-working laborers. And we're just thinking about them and these different things. And you know what? They're all wherever they are. They're gone. There's no connection. There's no contact. We couldn't take them to where we are. We couldn't take them to our today. We can't take them into next year or whatever. So many of us like to try to bring people over, and you can't. Let the dead bury the dead. You know, they didn't hurt me too bad. Maybe I should let it go. I heard this the other day. I just was thinking about people, and I just felt like the Holy Spirit said, let them dogs lay. What is that old statement? You know, let them dogs lie, man. Leave that stuff alone. You know how you ever get that way, sentimental, and you think about people and all that, and then the Holy Spirit say, uh-uh. let that dog just lay. Let that thing go. And so that's very important. So Luke chapter 22, let's go to verse 22. So we're picking it up again in the story. He's about a stone's cast away. He's now left the triclinium. He's left the three. He's left the 11. He's now alone. He's under extremely incredible depression. His body is going through the pangs of death, if you will. And he's saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours. Is that right? Watch what he says. Father, if thou be willing. Now, Jesus was not trying to get out of the crucifixion. Jesus was not trying to find a way of pass. He wasn't looking for a way for him to just avoid the whole thing. Jesus was in complete submission and total consecration to the will of the Father, that he wanted to empty his own self out and say, it's not my will, but your will be done. I want to be in complete submission to you, even unto death. You see, the prayer of consecration does that. You come before the Father and you say, God, if you never give me a ministry, if I never preach again, if I never get another offering, if I never get any of these things, I just want to serve you with all of my heart all the days of my life. If I have to be a doorkeeper, then let it be. If I got to clean every toilet in the building, I just want to serve you. I want to be counted in the great number in the great day. Boy, you don't hear that much preached anymore. You don't hear it prayed any much anymore. You hear now, you know, well, I want to be on, you know, I want to be a star. I want to do all this for God. I want to be on TV. Really? We don't need you on TV. We need you cleaning the toilets. But the prayer of consecration, the real prayer, as modeled by what I'm going to teach here, is the true way, the blueprint of how we should all pray. I know when I began in ministry, this is the way I would pray, and I still pray this day. Whatever you want to do, whatever you desire, whatever he wants to do with this ministry in my life, it's totally up to him. Amen. That's the prayer of consecration. So he said, Father, if thou will, remove this cup from me. He's not saying I'm giving it up. I'm weaseling out of my contract. He's saying, if this is not the way you want to do it, if you've got another plan, if I'm in any way trying to take credit for this, I want it all out of me now. This is powerful. Because again, our flesh seems to get in the way when it comes to the will of God, doesn't it? But the prayer of consecration in the place of the press, it causes us to say, Father, I don't want any of this, but I want it for you. I want what you want done. So remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Your will be done. Listen to what the Holy Spirit said to me. When I was looking at Matthew 26 and 36, 37, 38, when it was talking about him being heavy and the depression and all those things were afflicting him, even unto death, the Lord spoke to me and he said, and paraphrasing, but basically said that, do you know what was going on with Jesus? Do you know what was going on with this moment? And I was like, well, yeah, I mean, I could see what's happening. He said, he was on death row. Jesus was on death row. Think about this for a minute in the imagination of your mind. He wasn't in a prison cell, but he was on death row. He was at the position to where his entire life, everything about him in the natural, was going to be put upon that cross. There was a natural death for Jesus. So there was a natural giving up for him. Do you see this in here? This is consecration. This is real consecration. To where he recognized and realized that he was so sorrowful and so full of depression and so pressed that he felt as though he would die, that he asked the guys to stick around. I don't have time to go into it, but he asked them, and three times he went back, and they were what? Asleep. Because of his natural body. I'm about to preach now. Feel the anointing. His natural body was about to give up. He was going to the point of no return, to where his body had to agree with his spirit that he would obey the voice of God and go to that cross. And as he was on death row, he made that commitment. Jesus died in the Garden of Gethsemane right there. He was crucified on Calvary, but he died in the Garden of Gethsemane. At what? The place of consecration, at the press, where he said, not my will. Father, if you can make this cup go past, not my will, but your will be done. You see, this is powerful because this is a prayer we need to pray again in the body of Christ. We need an entire revolution of prayer of consecration back to the laity, back to the hierarchy, back to the priest. Come on, somebody. Back to the preacher, the bishop. Could we just fall before God's throne and say, I renew my life, Father, whether I have a TV ministry, a radio ministry, or any ministry at all. Jesus was on death row. He died there. He died to himself. He died to his will. You say, how do you know that? How do you know that? Because later on, what happened? And again, I'm going to get ahead of myself, so if you hear it again next week, go, woo, awesome. The angels came and strengthened him. They had to strengthen him because man couldn't do what Jesus was going to do. He had to have supernatural help because the men fell asleep, but the angels came and ministered to him. Do you see that? Here's a powerful principle. When I consecrate my life to him, then all of heaven begins to respond. Angelic power, heavenly favor begins to come upon you. Because God begins to see somebody crying out in consecration and sees that the anointing should be upon that person at their topos, their position of opportunity. Well, man, I could do this all night, but I know we got to move on. So I'm going to be teaching this as we move forward, consecration and transparency. I pray for all of us tonight, those listening on various media platforms, find a place with God, find that topos. and begin to ask God to begin to break things off of your life and begin to consecrate. Don't be afraid to pray this prayer. He's not going to hurt you. He's going to help you. Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that we would find that place of consecration once again in this house. In America, Father, you're breaking us down through scandals and exposure. But when men really cry out, what a day that's going to be. They're crying now because they're exposed. They got caught. But God, I'm looking forward to the day when man cries out because he knows there's no other way to go but towards you. That priest and preacher and bishop and those in ministry would begin to call out and say, God, here I am at the place of the press. Use me, Lord God. Pressure all these things out of me to where there's nothing left of me but all of you, and the pressure of the glory of God will be upon me, Father God. I pray for that. We need that. Our young people need to see churches on fire. They need to see their family on fire. They need to see the glory on the preacher. They need to see what they saw in the book of Acts. God, if we're ever going to have a generation to see your glory in the future, we must have it now so that we can pass it on to them. God, I pray today for the prayer of consecration and transparency to begin in the house of God. Lord, you'll never do anything to harm us, but everything to help us. We love you, and Jesus, thank you for the sacrifice that you made in the garden. Thank you for that blueprint to show us how. In your mighty name we pray. Everybody say amen and amen. Hey, I love you. I'll see you Wednesday. We bless you guys, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.